Luke chapter 6 today. So let me just give you an opportunity to take a moment to find Luke chapter 6. And we're going to begin in verse 17, okay? So Luke chapter 6, verse 17. And as you know, we've been kind of just working our way through portions of Luke's gospel recently. And so this is a very, very interesting section. And if you have the NIV, it even has on there blessings and woes, all right? And so we're going to talk a little bit about that here today. So beginning in verse 17, Luke chapter 6, he, referring to Jesus, went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples were there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil or impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. And woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." We have some interesting things to consider today in this portion of Luke's gospel. And I just want to highlight that the previous section that we did not read has Jesus choosing his 12 disciples, and he had spent the night praying before making that choice, and then Jesus makes that selection of the 12 who then are committed to following him wherever he's going to lead, and in a sense become apprentices of Jesus, and in doing so then are able to be then missionaries or apostles in serving him. But they come down from the mountain where Jesus had prayed and where he had made this selection, and they now are on a level plain. And it's interesting that it says that people have come from all over the place. They've come from Judea and Jerusalem, which is kind of the southern part of Israel. But there's also people from Tyre and Sidon, which is the northern and western and even the coastal area of Israel. So people have come from all over the place to be able to see Jesus and to hear Jesus. And it says there that they just want to touch him. They just want to be close to him, because they sense that God and God's power is evident there. And verse 19 tells it this way, "And the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all." What a day. What a time to just think that just being in the presence of Jesus, just being able to even touch him or the garment that he has, that healing would take place. And that particular day, of course, many, many people are helped and they're healed. And it just must have been an amazing scene to just see how God worked through Jesus that day. But then you'll notice that in verse 20, Jesus begins to kind of zero in on his disciples. And he begins to share this message that describes both blessings and woes. And if you think about that, just if you go back to the end of the book of Deuteronomy, you'll find several chapters describing blessings for obedience and woes if there's disobedience, or curses if there's disobedience. And so it's kind of a similar pattern as that latter part of Deuteronomy. When we think of the blessings, though, we might think about something that is probably more familiar to us, and that's the Beatitudes that we find in Matthew's gospel. As part of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, you know, blessed are, and blessed are, and blessed are. But interestingly, Matthew does not bring the woes, at least not till toward the end of Matthew's gospel. And so it's similar, but it's not the same here in Luke's gospel. And when you think about what Luke does here, that's an interesting balance that he does between the blessings and the woes. And they're almost like opposites. Notice, follow along in the scripture there. In verse 20, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. But then if you go to verse 24, woe to you who are rich, for you've already received your comfort. Again, another opposite, beginning in verse 21. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you'll be satisfied. Verse 25, woe to you who are well fed now, for you'll be hungry. Verse 21 also, blessed are you who weep now, for you'll laugh. Verse 25, woe to you who laugh now, for you'll weep and mourn and weep. And then finally, in verse 22, blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. In verse 26, you have kind of the opposite. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. Can you notice the balance? Blessed are you who are poor, blessed or woe to you who are rich. Bless those who are hungry, but woe to you who are well fed. Luke does an interesting thing in this particular thing, the opposites of poor and rich and hungry and well fed and weeping and laughing and the hated, excluded, insulted, rejected as compared to the well spoken of. May I suggest to you that one of the things that Jesus does here, and the reason we kind of see this, is that Jesus is making it clear that when he comes on the scene, the world flips a bit. Things change. Everything that was considered one way is now looked at in a different way. And we're going to look at that here a little bit today. We certainly live in a world that's a lot like in Jesus' day, because obviously in Jesus' day, as well as in ours, we would consider people who are rich and well-fed and laughing and popular blessed people, right? They're blessed. They have money. They're blessed. They're well-fed. They're blessed because they're having a good time. They're blessed because everybody loves them. We would kind of think that way, wouldn't we? I mean, that's still our world. And it was the world in which Jesus lived. We would say, blessed are the rich, blessed are the well-fed, blessed are the laughing, blessed are the well-spoken of. In fact, in some respects, isn't that the American dream? That's the blessing of our country. But as we think about this today, I have some questions to raise and some things for us to think about. Is Jesus saying it's better to be poor, hungry, weeping, excluded? I mean, should we try to pursue those kind of things so that we'll be blessed? Let's all become poor so we can be blessed. Let's quit eating. Have no food. We lost one already. By the same token, listen to this question. Should we feel guilty because we have some money, have some food to eat, and are relatively happy and well thought of? Should we feel guilty because of that? What do you think Jesus is trying to say? How should we take what Jesus tells us in these Luke portion, Beatitudes and Woes? I have a few suggestions I want to share with you. First of all, I think that at least part of what Jesus is hitting on is our tendency to think that life is found in having money or being well-fed or being happy and well thought of, that all of that is what life is all about without including God. We sometimes have a tendency to think that that's where the pursuit should be, that that's what we should be going for, right? I mean, our world promotes that as the way to go. And who doesn't want to be rich, right? Who doesn't want to be well-fed? Who doesn't want to be happy? Who doesn't want to be well thought of? But is life all about what this world has to offer? That's really the question to consider. Is life really about what the world has to offer? Or is there something more to life than money, something more than food, something more than being well thought of or being happy? Is there more to life than these things? Perhaps that's where Jesus is wanting to take us in this passage of Scripture. The second question to kind of raise, or I don't know if it's the second, I've raised it more than that already. But here's another question to consider is this. Does being poor or hungry or grieving or insulted and excluded keep us from the hope of being blessed? Do those things keep us from any sense of hope of being able to be blessed? And in this passage, Jesus would say, no. Jesus came into a world that there are extreme differences between the haves and the have-nots. And we have some of that in our world still today, don't we? Extreme differences between the haves and the have-nots. And one of the things we learn from Jesus is that his heart of compassion to those who didn't have was strong. That he had a heart for people who were lacking in the things that they needed and the things that were important for just living life. You remember a few weeks back that we were talking about in Luke's gospel earlier about Jesus when he went to his hometown and he goes to Nazareth. He goes to the synagogue, and there in the synagogue, the Isaiah 61, the scroll of Isaiah is handed to him. He turns to Isaiah 61 and he says, I've been anointed to preach good news to poor people. One of the wonderful things that the Lord brings to us is hope. One of the greatest things the Lord gives us is hope. Aren't you glad that in him we have hope? There may be some in here today that you have some things going on in your life and you feel like, man, how am I going to make it? It's kind of the questions that Pastor Kayla raised with the scripture she read. You know, why, Lord? Why? You know, how am I going to make it? And all that. With the Lord, there's always hope. Aren't you glad for that? In him, we have hope. We have that sense that we're not alone, that we don't have to try to deal with this situation or this circumstance by ourselves, that we have hope. And we have a hope that whatever our situation, it is not forever. It's not going to last forever. The woes of life are thinking that the things of this life can somehow satisfy the soul and then discovering that they can't. Consider going through your whole life thinking that having more money, having more food, having, you know, more people feeling good about you, never having to go through anything bad, coming to the end of your life and discovering that it was all for nothing. Coming to the end of life and having no hope. That would be the saddest of all, wouldn't it? Thinking that everything you put into all those things didn't give you any sense that eternity could ever be available and satisfy. Jesus is concerned that the rich and the well-fed and the seemingly happy and the well-thought-of will be satisfied with those things without God. That's our world, isn't it? That's our world saying all of those things matter more than anything else. And if you have them, you've got what you want and what you need. With no mention of God, no reminder that there might be something more needed in life. The so-called blessings of life, as we've listed here and as Jesus lists for us, every one of them is temporary. True? They're all temporary. They don't last forever. At the same time, we should not think that God wants us to be poor and hungry and grieving and hated. Seeking such things really, in many respects, would just be foolish. But thinking that because you are one of these means you can't be blessed would also be foolish. And so here's Jesus playing off these two things between the rich and the poor, the well-fed and the hungry, and all those kinds of things. And the danger is that we will think that being rich and well-fed and all that kind of thing ends up becoming a substitute for God in our lives. We begin to think that that's what life is all about, and we forget about God. That's the danger here. And that's why it's so important for us to look at this today. So, another question to ask. What do these blessings and woes have to say to folks somewhere in the middle? Somewhere in the middle between rich and poor, between hungry and well-fed, between mourning and laughing, and being insulted and excluded and being well-spoken of. What do these blessings and woes have to say to folks like us? We may have somebody that's rich here. I don't know. If not in money, in a lot of other ways, we have a lot of folks that are rich, right? And my guess is most all of us are fairly well-fed. Maybe too well-fed, right? Watch it, Joe. You never know when I'm going to catch you right in the middle of something, right? And you know, many of us relatively happy, though we do have some who are in the midst of mourning. And my guess is most all of you, in fact, I would guess all of you, are well thought of by most everybody that knows you. How many would say you are well thought of? You're not going to brag, right? So what might that all mean for us who might find ourselves relatively rich by the comparison with many, fairly well fed, remember spaghetti dinner tonight, what are we to make of all this? For one thing, may I suggest this. Refuse ever to look down on those who are less fortunate or who are struggling as though in any way you or I are superior.
Right. Good preaching.
We never take that perspective, do we? That's not the way in which we look at it. But let me throw this in. At the same time, refuse to look up to those who seem to have everything going for them as though somehow they are heroes to be imitated. Which seems to be the way we do things in the world. We admire the rich and the famous, those who seem to have everything, as though somehow they're better than anyone else. And so refuse to look down on those who might not have all that much, but also refuse to look up as though those who have things somehow makes them a better person. I jotted this thought down. I think it's true. Envy and greed and jealousy are not a good look for the people who follow Jesus. Right? Being envious of those who seem to have, those who seem to have arrived, not a good look for us who follow the Christ. Another thing I would suggest is this, that it comes to my mind that we should do what we can to help those who do have needs. What was Jesus doing as just before he began teaching this? He was helping any person who came along who needed help. People were being healed. People were being helped. Finding ways to help people who need help is the Christian way, isn't it? Finding ways to help people is the Jesus way. I love the fact that we have a place like the Storehouse for Jesus where folks in our community that are struggling maybe to make ends meet and to have enough food on a table have food, have clothing. I'm grateful for the fact we host the Coalition of Care, which is a ministry that helps people who have emergency kinds of needs and is able to help with maybe that electric bill or help with that gas bill or whatever, especially a winter like we've had, having that available for people who have needs. I'm grateful for a church that has generosity in your heart and a desire to help, a desire to serve. Because that is the spirit of Jesus, isn't it? That's the desire of Jesus, to be one who comes into the situations of life where life is hard, life is tough. And sometimes people just need help. And so we come to this passage of Scripture and want to consider that we are not to look down on those who may have difficult circumstances, nor should we be looking up as admiring those who seem to have everything going for them. Every single person has value. If there's anything Jesus really teaches throughout his entire ministry, it's that people are valued because God created them. They are human beings. Every single one valued. Being poor doesn't make a person less a person. Neither does being rich make a person more of a person. When you consider the fact that every one of us is going to be bowing before the Lord Jesus. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so it's not a virtue to be poor or hungry or weeping or hated. It's not a sin to be rich or well-fed or happy or well thought of. But when people, whether rich or poor, treat other people, whether rich or poor, with value and respect and the love of God, then we're beginning to be a little more like Jesus. Wouldn't you say? When we love like Jesus loved, whoever needs it, whatever the circumstance might be. In closing, let me just share these couple words. The blessed life is a life that's lived in relationship with Jesus and with the heart of Jesus toward others. Amen? That's the blessed life. The blessed life is loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving others as you love yourself. That's the blessed life. But here's the woe. Woe to those who think that life without God can be blessed. Ultimately, it's not, is it? ultimately, life without God will not be a blessed life. Because it's the Lord who does the blessing, whether the rich or poor, whether the hungry or well-fed, whether the happy or the mourning, it's the Lord who blesses. And what Jesus always keeps bringing us back to is it all comes down to a relationship with the God who loves us, the God who created us. It's not about trying to become rich or trying to become poor so that we could be blessed. We're blessed when we're in relationship with Him. Whether we're well-fed or hungry, like Paul puts it, having Jesus is what matters. Having Jesus is the blessed life. And it's what we want to pass on and share with others. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your word. Your word that challenges us in both our hearts and our minds, and challenges us in the call to be more like You. Lord, give us Your heart. Give us a heart for people. And help us, Lord, keep a perspective which keeps You at the center of it all, so that we don't find ourselves admiring those who seem to have a lot of stuff and looking down on those who don't, but instead recognizing that in front of You, we're all on level ground. Because that's where You were preaching that day, on level ground, where we're all the same. We're human beings, loved by God. Lord, we pray that You'd help us to be like You want us to be, to serve You with our whole hearts, and to, Lord, be blessed because we know You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.